The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Chapter 4 and reading from verse 12. Jesus begins his public ministry in this passage shortly after John the Baptist is imprisoned by Herod. He proclaims the nearness of God's reign and calls four fishermen to be his first disciples. Now for the reading. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Life is filled with uncertainties. None of us likes that, because uncertainty places us in a zone that makes us very uncomfortable. We'd much rather be certain about things, even if they are not the way we wish them to be. At least by being certain, we have some idea how to proceed with life. Let us pray. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Uncertainty is unsettling. It is, to say the least, not our comfort zone. When there's a fair degree of certainty about situations, we have more grounds and confidence to plan ahead. If we are certain about a person, we know how to relate to that person, what to expect of that person, whether they are reliable or not, trustworthy or not. As a teenager, I loved to read westerns, especially by the author Louis L'Amour. And sometimes he would paint a scene. I recall one scene, or more than one scene, put that scene out, when there was a very tricky situation with the main character facing down the bad guys. And as it was coming to gunplay, he had to figure out the bad guys. And he would look at them and say, "That one, I know for sure he will shoot. I have to keep that in mind. That one, he will stay on the side. He will not do anything. But that shifty eye one, can't figure him out. Don't know what I expect there. He may or may not shoot. That is the dangerous one." And so, being certain of people, we know what to expect. Being certain of a situation, we basically know how to proceed, knowing a bit of what to expect of it. Certainty helps us to be decisive, to act with confidence, and live more assuredly day to day. Uncertainty, on the other hand, places us in a twilight zone. However, uncertainty may have a redeeming quality. It can have the effect of creating in us a sense of urgency about the present. Since we are uncertain about what lies beyond now, and we are certain about now, we can invest ourselves fully into the present. And this is the strand of thought that is behind today's gospel reading. Now, and this is why Bible study is important, as we always emphasize in the Bible study class. Reading the scriptures sometimes raises a whole lot of questions and offers very few answers. It is sometimes helpful when we use our imagination as we read, but imagination can only take us so far. We need to have solid knowledge of the Bible and what is behind what is written there. And this is one situation. We need to know what is behind the words that are written there. We want to know what prompted Matthew to take this particular tact as he writes his gospel account of Jesus' story. When you read Matthew's gospel, there was one strand of thought that really guided his thinking and writing his theology. And that is what is called eschatology, the end times. Matthew was writing against the background that the end is near. The end is near. He and the people of his day had that certainty. And that informs what we hear today. And when we read Matthew. In the gospel reading for today, Matthew relates the story of the call of the four fishermen. This account leaves us, our thinking person, with many, many questions. I'm sure as you heard the lesson read, some of those questions may have surfaced in your mind. For example, questions like, as Matthew tells us, Jesus walks by and says, "Follow me." And they follow. Did the four fishermen really just hear Jesus call, "Follow me"? And they did. Did they abandon their nets, their boats, their family, like James and John left their father, their livelihood, and just walked after this itinerant preacher who came out and just said, "Follow me"? What basis was there for them to just abandon everything and follow? And Matthew doesn't tell us any of these questions or raise any of these questions. But these questions are raised in our minds when we read the scriptures. And if we don't understand what the scripture is saying, we dismiss the story as, that's some kind of fable, some fairy tale. Doesn't really make sense of thinking person. I really can't believe this kind of thing. Who would just walk away from their livelihood and follow this person who says? Well, we have to understand what is behind the story. Matthew does not give us any ideas that the four fishermen wrestled with any questions about following Jesus or about their lives and the implication of leaving their way of life to follow Jesus. He is not concerned with these questions here or in his book, really. He addresses these questions, a little later on. We read in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 18. Some would-be followers came to Jesus and said, "I would follow you." And Jesus says, "Really, have you asked yourselves the question what it means to follow me? Have you count the cost before you come to me with that request? Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but I have nowhere to rest my head. Are you prepared for that? Are you prepared to make the sacrifices that are necessary to deny yourselves, to take up the cross? Are you prepared for the hardship, for persecution and possibly death? Are you prepared for what it means to follow me really? That question Matthew raises later. Also, we read in chapter 19 and verse 16, a rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what does it mean to, how do I get eternal life? And the question was answered and the conversation went on. And Jesus said, you know what? In the end, sell all you have, come follow me. The story tells us the rich man turned away sadly. No, that cost was too much. To sell all he had, give it to the poor, and follow Jesus? Those are questions that were wrestled with there later on, but not now. Matthew here is concerned with answering God's invitation into discipleship with a sense of urgency against the background that the end is near. That is what he's concerned about. So when he tells us the disciples just got up and walked away, he is painting a picture of an urgent response to an urgent invitation. Matthew wants us to understand the urgency of discipleship. And out of this, we also understand the urgency of our in life. Unlike Matthew's time, we do not concern ourselves with the nearness of the end. We live with a confident, perhaps mistaken, but nevertheless confident certainty that the end is not near. Modern minds cannot address itself to the idea that the end of time is soon to come. That's not something that we live with. That's a certainty we have. The end is not near. But here is what we should be concerned about. One thing we can be certain about. We can be certain about the uncertainty of tomorrow. We can be certain of our plans for the future. We can nail them down very firmly, plan them out to the fullest detail. We cannot be certain that the future is ours. This is not in our hand, nor under our control. This uncertainty of tomorrow ought to drive our urgency for today, for now, for the present moment. And that is where this whole thing about the end comes upon us in the present time. Even though our mindset is not one of thinking about the end of time, we can think about the end of time as it relates to the brevity of life, the end of our time, the uncertainty of our life and life in general. And this is Matthew's message to us in the fisherman's prompt, unquestioning, and somewhat in our minds perhaps, strange and senseless response to Jesus' call to follow. That they just dropped everything and followed after Jesus. There is an urgency about this story that calls us to take to heart. And we can take to heart also the urgency of uncertainty. The uncertainty about tomorrow ought to make us treasure the present. Now is the time for us to be decisive about things in our lives. Things that we have been putting off. Important things that we should be acting on. The uncertainty and the urgency that surrounds uncertainty should prompt us to act in those matters that we have been putting off, such as writing that thank you note that we've been thinking about for a long time to someone who did a kind act for us or said a thoughtful word to us when we most needed it. The urgency of uncertainty should move us to mend fences in our relationships with people who are outside our network of friendship because those relationships were shattered. Now is a time for forgiveness. Now is a time for repentance. That's Jesus' message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now is a time to make that decision and fully embrace God and God's kingdom and relationship with God and God's mission to the world. That's what Jesus did. We hear immediately that he called the disciples. What does Matthew tell us? He went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and healing the people. There's an urgency about God's mission. 2,000 years of existence of the church has dulled our sense of urgency because we always reason that we have tomorrow and next year. But really, do we have tomorrow and next year? Now is the time for us to hear God calling us to enter into that mission which is his kingdom is all about. To see the people out there who are hungry for the gospel, the people who are sitting in darkness, as we heard in Matthew and prophesied in Isaiah, so that the light of God may shine upon them. How would this light shine except that God's people engages God's mission to bring light where there is darkness? We do that, yes. There is so much darkness in the world. People sitting in the darkness, not only of sin and ignorance and backwardness, but in the darkness of hopelessness and loneliness, the darkness of despair and sorrow and pain. We sit in this congregation, but our mission goes beyond the walls of this congregation, this church, to touch the lives of people we don't know or will never know. That is what we are called to do. And that is why we should all embrace the mission that we have, that God has given us. That sense of urgency about this thing that is given to us should drive us into embracing it and claiming and owning it with more fervor. It is the task of every one of us, as Jesus shows us, to preach the good news, to share, witness, and tell our friends, our family, our neighbors about God's love for us in Christ Jesus. It is the mission of the church and every one of us to bring light into the lives of people we know and love, and even those we don't, who are sitting in darkness. And there should be a sense of urgency about it. And the urgency is not driven by the fact or by what we believe will not happen, that is, the end is not near. But the urgency is driven by the fact that time is not infinite for us. We don't know about tomorrow. We don't know about next year. What we can be certain about is now. As a congregation, let us live in the now, even as we look to the future. Let us be certain about the now, and let the uncertainty about the future drive us to embrace and engage the now with energy and fervor and enthusiasm for the work of God and for our personal life. Yes, there is a redeeming quality in uncertainty. And that redeeming quality is that it can drive us to live our lives with urgency for the present, with urgency for God's mission, with urgency for those around us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keeps our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of Christ. Amen.